30-minute reviews, beware of spoilers, and exploring hyperspace lanes are all available ad-free. But if you want to support the show, you can go to bewareofspoilers.com and click the support button that's available on the Spotify website. Thank you. Good evening and welcome to Beware of Spoilers. I am Adam on this, a chilly Thursday evening. So, this weekend the two big releases, for me at least, were, you know, Monkey Man, obviously number one, and Wicked Little Letters was number two. This asshole is in the middle of the street instead of in the lane. What the fuck are you doing? The option came down to which one am I going to do first, and it came down to scheduling. Tomorrow, Monkey Man's being shown at a godly hour, so tonight, I was like, alright, look, if Monkey Man's being shown there, and it's 7 for both of these, I'm not going to get into the semantics. It's easier, it was better to do this one tonight and then do Monkey Man tomorrow. Which is why we're talking about Wicked Little Letters today, which is a movie, with And here's the thing, it's like, I'm watching this movie, and I'm like, I've seen the girl who plays Nancy somewhere. The little girl, the daughter of Jesse Buckley's character, Rose. I'm like, I was like, I've seen this girl somewhere. I couldn't put my finger on that. I looked it up after. I'm like, oh, Abigail, that fucking vampire movie that comes out, like, next week that we're not going to talk about on here, probably, because I don't want to watch that. But either way, it's like, I was like, where, like, oh, I've seen her every time I see that trailer for the last few months, which is more often than I would like. But regardless, I think this movie's very entertaining. I think that it is, you know, it's not something where it is, you know, it's got flavors of, and I know it's going to sound ridiculous, but it's got flavors of Anatomy of a Fall, especially toward the end. It's not as deep or as good as Anatomy of a Fall by any stretch of the imagination. I think it is just entertaining, and I think that this is a movie that's entertaining in so much as the performances are great. Jesse Buckley, who is the entire reason why I had any interest in seeing this, like, I had previously seen her in Men, we talked about Women Talking, which she was also in, and her being in the movie is what made me go, like, oh, okay, this could be interesting, because she's, you know, she's a good actress, and she plays an Irish immigrant who moves to England after World War I, and tries to start a life with her daughter. She moves in next door with this prim and proper family. She is rowdy, she is, vulgar, she is, you know, everything. Every stereotype of an Irish person you've ever heard, there she is. She is the walking stereotype minus the shamrock t-shirt. Like, she is every stereotype rolled into one. And she's just, you know, she's, because of this, as letters start showing up at her next door neighbor's house, that are just explicit and rude and mean, she gets blamed and gets charged with the crime of sending these letters. And then it's like, you know, and then the movie unfolds. It's the story of this woman as she's trying to clear her name because she didn't send the letters. And what unfolds there. I think it's an interesting story. And I think that the investigation part's very cool, the way they do it with this group of women, including the woman who plays one of the ghosts in the UK. Ghost is in it. I think that this movie is carried by its performances. If not for the performances by Olivia Colman, who's the neighbor, by Timothy Spall, who's her father, by Jesse Buckley, who is the lead. I don't think this movie quite lands without all of them, you know, being as good as they are. I would say that there's definitely room for improvement. I think that the movie is slow at times. The pacing is not 100% great. It careens back and forth between whether it wants to be a comedy or a drama. I think it's trying to be a comedy, and I think the comedic moments land. But because the comedic moments land as well as they do, other aspects of the movie fall flat. What else have we got? I think the reveal that... And I was happy with the reveal because I was fairly certain going through the movie that it was going to be revealed that Timothy Spall was the one sending the letters. But I would have liked to have seen an exploration of the relationship between Edith, who is Olivia Colman, and her father. Like, that relationship should have been explored a little bit more, I think. And had we gotten just a little bit more there, it would have upped the movie a little bit. But there's really... The issue is it's at its core an abusive relationship, and for the tone the movie is clearly going for, having that there would have harmed the tone. Because you can't get a comedic tone in the movie and have that relationship be the way it is. You get enough of it here to kind of explain, but, like, the reveal that, like, oh, he doesn't want her to ever leave the house. He's the one who sent away the fiancé. Like, those reveals come in the third act, and it's like, yeah, but, like, okay, sure. Like, okay, but it's needed to end the movie and be like, oh, here it is. But it is what it is. The woman who plays Gladys Moss, whose name I don't know, is also really good. She was in Cyrano. That's where I think I saw her previously. Cyrano. She's in We Are Lady Parts, which I think I saw like two episodes of. It's a very entertaining movie. And it's entertaining enough to warrant a watch if it's something that you have or haven't, you know, because at the end of the day, it's just, like, the acting performances make this worth a watch, and do make up for some of the other shortcomings the movie does have. Because it's not a perfect movie by any stretch of the imagination, but it's also not bad. Like, and I think that that's kind of the issue with this, that it's kind of one of those middle-of-the-line movies, and that's kind of, we talk a lot about movies that are either really great or really terrible, and it's like, because you can get something good out of it. Something like this, where it's just kind of middle of the road fine, with room for improvement, but in all a satisfying experience. It's not like, you know, Spinning Gold last year, or Paints last year, or there were other movies last year that I was like, oh, this, like, there was a real race to the bottom last year in terms of quality of movie. This year, like, you know, this is definitely one of those movies that, like, we get to the end of the year, I will think back and be like, oh, that was... I'll remember this movie fondly. But it's not something that's going to, like, crack my top 10, I don't think. I think it's because there's enough narrative shortfalls for me to be like, I don't know, there's room for improvement, but if you make those changes, does fundamentally change certain aspects of the movie, so you can't really make those changes. And, you know, it doesn't lean into the comedic aspect enough. It's not like... You know, see how they run 2 years ago with Saoirse Ronan and Sam Rockwell, where it's like they lean into the fun on that. This movie is telling a true story, so it can't quite do that. And also, at its core, this is a profoundly feminist movie. It's a story of, you know, dealing with, you know, these are people who are profoundly concerned by the changes that are coming from the suffragette movement in the 20s in England. These are people who are, you know, dealing with the integration, allowing women into the police force, and how that reshapes their entire paradigm for what they, you know, for how they operate. This is people who are trying to, you know, like a woman who, just because she swears, has to deal with, you know, is put into the situation. Because she publicly swears, and because she publicly isn't as, you know, forwardly Christian as other members of the cast, she is ostracized and is the one who is ultimately thought to have committed the crime. It is profoundly a feminist movie, but it's the same thing last year, where we have a few movies that are, like, profoundly feminist that got kind of cast aside, especially in the Oscar race, in favor of Barbie, which is just, like, Barbie shoves it, like, I hate to say that, because you sound like one of those assholes on the internet, which this is a podcast, and I am, in fact, an asshole on the internet. But, like, it's one of those things where it's, like, it is feminism 101 in a way where it is designed to be the entry-level course for people who may or may not be completely on board with feminism. Like, oh, this is the on-ramp for you. Things like Anatomy of a Fall and other movies like that that are still feminist, but, you know, on a deeper level and get into more systemic issues, are kind of, you know, put on the back burner because, or not looked at in the same way, because they aren't so forward about it, because they aren't so in your face about, here is the feminist lesson of this movie. And that is kind of what the issue with a little bit, not the issue with this is, but it is, you know, it is one of those things where it's like, this could have been, you know, that's the part that really stands out to me, I think is what I'm trying to say, as something about this movie that is, you know, interesting and makes, and gives it a level of depth that a lot of movies, don't necessarily have. So what else have we got? That is not an exit, sir, that is an entrance. What else have we got? I feel like there's definitely more I wanted to address. Let me regroup while I sit in the drive-thru. Alright, we're back. The score, too, really stood out to me. That was the other thing I really wanted to address. Because it's like, I don't talk about the score unless something that's, like, really, really special. Like, Dune, I blew the score on for Dune Part 2. I added the Dune Part 2 score to my Amazon Music account. So I have it. They really need to fix these lights, because this is a very confusing light system that I'm looking at right here, for traffic lights. The Doom Part 2 score was something that, like, stood out, and I think that's still going to be my pick for best original score come Oscar time, unless they do something really special with, what's it called? With, what was it? With Furiosa. But this had a great score, too. And the way it goes in and out for tension, and the movie builds tension very well. Especially for something when we get to the third act, and based on the tone of the movie, you can kind of suss out where this is going to go. Like, by the time you get to the end of this movie, you're not going to be like, oh, well, what could possibly happen here? Is she going to get, like, when you get to the end, you're like, I don't think it's likely that, you know, Rose is not going to be exonerated. Like, by the time you get to the end, you're like, Rose is almost certainly going to be exonerated, but they still manage to build the tension where it's like, oh, will they catch her? Well, like, even things like they use invisible ink to prove who it is that's sending the letters. I'm not going to spoil it in case anyone wants to go out and watch the movie. I don't think I've spoiled up until this point, but, like, when they use the invisible ink, you're still like, oh, shit, is it going to work? And it does, and it's like, oh, cool, it worked. It's weird that I would... Whatever, it is what it is. It's an interesting movie. I would say this is a solid 4, I would say, on our scale, where 1 being don't worry about watching it at all, 5 being rush out to watch it in a theater. This is a 4. This is a movie where if you need something to watch in a matinee, it's a worthwhile watch while it's, you know, in a theater. It's not something that, it's not something you need to rush out to see, especially this weekend where you have so much stiff competition. This is a good, you know, oh, I'm off Tuesday, let me go watch a movie. What should I watch? Oh, let's go watch Wicked Little Letters. This is a good movie for that. This is a good, like, Discount Tuesday movie. It's still worth seeing in the theater, but I don't know if I would say this is definitely a rush out and see it right now movie. As evidenced by the fact that, you know, it came out last week, and it just got wide release this week. I'm interested to see, you know, what else we got. I don't know where that was going. I don't know. I'm tired. It's been a long day. It is 9 o'clock at night, and which I realize isn't that late, but I'm tired. I had work today, and here I am. I still got to do the write-up for the website. Which, if you want to go to the website, it's mwpnews.com. If you subscribe there, you'll get email updates with all the podcast episodes as I put up episodes about them or articles about them. And if news drops during the day and I'm on lunch break and I have time to break it or write it up, I will do that as long as I'm not busy doing something else on my lunch break, which does happen occasionally. What else have we got? I feel like there was more that I wanted to address. So tomorrow we got X-Men 97. Tomorrow evening we have Monkey Man. Saturday morning we'll be doing The Girls from the Bus, whatever the next episode is. I think it's episode 4, episode 5, whatever. That's Saturday. Then we don't have another episode until Thursday of next week. We have the Bad Batch in the morning, but Friday, is this week the Ministry of Ungentlemanly Warfare? I think it is. Maybe that's next week. I don't know. We may have a movie next week. We'll see. I know Challenger's at the end of the month for certain. But we'll wrap up there for today. We'll be back with our regular schedule for 30-minute reviews. This week we'll be talking about the Disney proxy vote drama and everything that unfolded with that, and what that means for us, the viewing public. We'll be talking about the Matrix 5 news. We got a lot to talk about this week on 30-minute reviews. But until then, have a great rest of your week.